Good to see Boy Genius back. Where'd he go?
Yeah.
Pastor John introduced him. I missed him. But you know, even in his absence, God works.
Yes, he does.
I mean, it's maybe hard to believe. Maybe we thought the glory cloud went with him down to, you know, down to Cedar Point. But while he was gone, there were others that stepped in the gap.
Stepped in the gap, yeah.
First thing I thought was, who's going to make my coffee when I get here in the morning? And lo and behold, the Lord provides. We had three young kids. Came in, all three of them learned how to do it, did a great job, been in here cleaning, and, you know, it just shows you that, yeah, sometimes we have to step away, but God will bring somebody to step in the gap. So Tom's going to be promoted. No longer am I going to make him make coffee for me. He'd move on to a whole other department.
Now he makes lattes now?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to find out. I know he was managing some restaurant down there, so.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, from what I understand, it really improved. You know, when we go somewhere, God's blessing should go with us. Amen. And they put him in, or he was telling me this before service, they put him in a restaurant that was like at the back, you know, of the park. And that's exactly where I would have put him, too, at the back of the park. But they put him there. It was, I guess, the one restaurant in the place that didn't make a whole lot of money, but he did such a good job there. Revenue went up. And you can't help it. And I thought that, you know, hey, you know, you don't understand this, Tom, but when you go, the blessing of God goes with you. And we all need to realize that we need to take the presence of God wherever we go. We should work for the betterment of whoever we're working for, company or what have you. Because, you know, in the house of Obed-Edom, the Ark of the Covenant sat there, and David heard about it. And he said, Obed-Edom's house is getting blessed. And David said, bring that Ark to my house. Amen. So I just, I'm glad to see him back. I saw him coming in this morning, and, you know, the man just touches my heart. He's just so honest. You know, he don't speak a whole lot of words, but when he does, he lets his light shine before men.
Yes, amen. He does.
Amen. Good to have Thomas back. I hope he's up there making some coffee for Pastor Don. Amen. Well, let's pray, and, you know, on a more serious note, we'll get into God's Word. But everything we do, we need to have that in mind. We're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Doesn't matter if we're placed in a low station of life or a high station of life. God has placed us there. Use that time for His glory. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Father, we give You thanks this morning. We
Thank
prepare
you,
our hearts and our minds right now as we sit and open Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the abundant treasure that we receive from it. Lord, it's such a treasure house of precious jewels. And Lord, it says in Your Word that I desire Your Word more than honey itself, that Your Word tastes good to my mouth. Now,
Thank
Father,
you,
we pray for Pastor John as he brings forth this
Thank
Word.
You,
may we take it, may we walk it out, and we give You thanks for every word that is spoken. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as you know, everything that we've been looking at, everything we've been talking about, all this year has been about getting to know God, getting to know His heart and His character, knowing Him in every way that we can. The closer we get to God and the better we understand Him, then we begin to see how great and how awesome our God really is. Because there is no comparison to our God. There are many different aspects of God that we could study, and we could do it from here for all eternity, and we would never run out of things to find out about God. There's just too much in God. Our little minds could never contain everything that there is to know about God. One of the things that I really appreciate about God is His faithfulness. If there's one thing that we can count on in this life, and there's a lot of things we can't, and you know that. It seems like everything is always, you know, falling away or breaking down or this or that. But we can always count on God. Because God is faithful. God Himself is the essence of faithfulness. If you remember, there was a time back in Genesis when Moses was leading the Israelites through the desert. And this is what God had called him to do. And, you know, he didn't really want to do it at first. And he sort of fought it. But, you know, because he loved God and him and God had this good relationship, you know, he did it. God told him to do it, so he did it. But he was sort of overwhelmed. And he was afraid that, like one time when they were getting ready to pick up and go, he's saying, God, if You don't go with us, then we don't even want to go. If you're not with us, we're just going to be like any other people. And what good is it then for us to go out and do whatever we do if you're not with us? Because then there's no difference between us or anyone else. And so he said to God, Moses did, in Exodus 33:13, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you. Just what we've been talking about, knowing God. Teach me your ways so that I can know you. Moses really wanted to know him, and so that I can continue to find favor with you. How can I please you? How can I find favor with you if I don't know you and know what you want? We can't. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. We sing that song, show me your glory. You know, and Moses, that's where that comes from. Moses said, show me your glory. I want to see you. I really want to see you. I want to know you. I want to get a real grasp of who you are. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. That was Exodus chapter 33, verse 18 and 19. And then just a few verses later in the next chapter, Exodus 34:5, it says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming. Now this is God speaking, and he's saying, the Lord, the Lord. The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. God himself was telling Moses, I am abounding in faithfulness. He wanted Moses to not be afraid anymore. Don't worry, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to make you a disgrace before the nations. I'm not going to just let, you know, my people wander with no God. I'll be there because I am faithful. I'm abounding in faithful and in love. So God basically was telling him, I'm going to keep my promise to you. I'm faithful. Don't worry about it. So knowing that God cannot lie, knowing his character, knowing his love for us and his faithfulness, we should also know that God's going to keep his promises to us. And there's one in particular that I just wanted to mention right here. And that's in Acts 2:38-39. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise, now we're talking about a promise, so what he's saying is there's a promise here, and he just got done, we just read about how he's faithful. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, all the way down in Melvindale in August of 2015, to the people sitting right here, this promise is for you and for all whom God will call. So this is a blanket promise for all who call upon the name of the Lord. This wasn't spoken to just a particular individual at a particular time. This is a promise that we can grab hold of, that once we've given our heart to God, that God is going to fill us with his Holy Spirit. That's what God wants to do. He wants us to have his Holy Spirit. And we can stake our life on that. Just like Moses was worried, is God going to be with me when I have to go out and do all this stuff? Sometimes we think, will God be with me? Will God's presence be there for me? Now, just like Moses, we need to serve God. We need to follow God. If we're off doing who knows what, we can't expect God's blessing there. But when we're walking and we're following after as best as we can what God wants us to do, then we know that according to God's word, God will be there with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. That's what God's word says, and his word will never pass away. What's interesting about this particular promise from God is we see that he's promising us the Holy Spirit. And it's a promise, which means Our faithful God is committing to that. And what's interesting is that the Holy Spirit then will help us to become faithful ourselves. Galatians 5:22 tells us that faithfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That means that all of us who have the Holy Spirit, which are all who call upon the name of the Lord, if we have the Holy Spirit, that we are supposed to now be growing in faithfulness. And we can see this faithfulness in God, and God is now saying, I want it to be in you. What does it mean to be faithful? Just a few words that I was thinking of: trustworthy, reliable, dependable, loyal, steadfast, enduring, consistent, unfailing, true to your word. Those are some of the aspects of faithfulness. All those words describe the depth of God's faithfulness. And they help us to understand what that faithfulness means, what it's all about. David tells us in Psalm 86:15 that God is abounding in love and faithfulness. Like it's pouring out of him. God is abounding. He's overflowing with love for us, and his faithfulness to us is also abounding. In other words, there's more than enough for all of us. He's got extra. It's just pouring out. Psalm 100 verse 5 tells us that his faithfulness continues through all generations. It never stops. It just goes on and on and on. That faithfulness will always be there. We can count on it because God's faithful. I love this one. Psalm 89:8. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? Obviously, it's a rhetorical question, and he means there's no one like you. You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. Your faithfulness surrounds you. That means, you know, that it surrounds that every part of God's character, he is faithful in that. When we say that God is love, that means he's faithful in love. We say that God is merciful, he is faithful in mercy. We say that God is good, God is faithfully good. His goodness is faithful. God is kind, he's faithful in his kindness. God is truth, he is justice, he's faithful in his truth and justice. In everything that God is, his faithfulness surrounds that. Isn't that cool when you think about it like that? As we get to know God, we begin to get an idea of this faithfulness, and we should hopefully begin to understand that because it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, that this is something that he's trying to cultivate inside of us. He wants this to grow in us. It's like he planted it in us, that deposit of the Holy Spirit in us. That seed of the Holy Spirit in us is like a seed of faithfulness that God put in us. And now as we grow in the Spirit, as we push aside the flesh and begin to operate in the Spirit throughout our life, hopefully growing more and more in the Spirit, we should see that faithfulness growing as well. God wants his people to be faithful. He wants you to be known as faithful to him, and he wants us to be known to others. As, you know, like, yeah, they're faithful, man. You can always count on them. You can always trust them. That's the kind of every one of us should be at our work. Or wherever we go, when people think of us, that's one of the things that should stand out. You can count on them. They're faithful, and they don't even realize it, but what they're in essence saying is they're just like their God. They're faithful. Because, see, we become a representation then of our God. There's a story I love to share, and I know I've shared this in the past, but it's probably been years. It's a story about the city of Pompeii. And Pompeii was like a wealthy resort town, a Roman resort town, back in the days when Rome was still a big deal. And, you know, they were the rulers of the world. And there was a mountain there called Mount Vesuvius. And in AD 79, that mountain erupted. And there were many people there that were buried in their homes, some of them down in the cellars hiding, some of them up on the roofs trying to get away from the rising ash. What happened was the mountain erupted so fast, so suddenly, and so powerfully that the ash came pouring down just amazingly. These people were just, they couldn't believe what happened. They probably, you know, heard the weather forecast, you know, a mountain erupting today, and didn't believe it. Just like we hear, you know, thunderstorms today, and we say, yeah, well, we'll see. And, you know, they probably were, you know, watching their TVs in their homes, you know, back in 79 AD, that they didn't have, obviously. But somehow, I'm sure they were getting the word that this mountain might erupt. But I would imagine they probably just got so used to it, the rumblings, that they didn't pay that much attention. But this time, it took off. The most powerful eruption that mountain had ever had. And the ash just poured down like crazy, so much that it buried people wherever they were. Wherever they found them in that position. If they were all sitting together as a family up on the roof trying to stay above the problem, they found them. They dug out the city years, over 1,000 years later, hundreds and hundreds of years later. They started excavating the city, and they found some people eating at their table, some people hiding out in their little root cellars, some people up on the roofs of their homes, some people running in the streets trying to get away. And it came down in such a powerful way that they couldn't escape. And the person, though, that stands out in my mind was the Roman soldier. If you know Roman soldiers, they never disobeyed their orders because they knew that if they did, it meant death. So they were faithful. Roman army was a very strong, faithful army. And there was a sentry that was standing at his post at the city gates, right where his captain had put him. And when they found the guard at the city gate, they began to dig down, you know, and they found this little guard post. Sort of like those old telephone booths. And there inside was the Roman sentry still standing there, holding his spear with his hand on his sword. Ready and waiting, faithful, even in the midst of disaster, he didn't leave his post. I just find that amazing. Faithful to the end. And then, of course, we know about Jesus. He was also faithful to the end. Even when he didn't really want to go to the cross, we know he didn't. He knew that, you know, he had to be obedient to his Father. There was not ever a doubt in his mind that he would obey his Father 100%, completely. But when he was praying, he asked, Lord, is there any other way? If there's another way, let me know, God. But if there's not, nevertheless, thy will be done. In other words, if there's another way, I'll take it. But God, you know I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. So you just say the word, and I'll do it. Well, he must have got the word. Because he went to that cross, and he was faithful as he not only went to the cross, but when he gave himself up, when he allowed them to beat him, to mock him, to crucify him, all those things that he could have easily stopped. He even said, I could have had legions of angels down here. But that wasn't the plan. The plan was for him to go to the cross. And so he was faithful to the plan of God till the very end, till the end of his life. God's looking for us to become his faithful people. You know, I also just remembered in Revelations 19:11, if you remember when John saw the vision and he saw Jesus, and it said he was called faithful and true. That was the name even given to him. God's always wanted a people that He could call His own from the very beginning. And even though God was faithful, unfortunately, we know, if, as reading the Word, boy, I'll tell you what, you find out that the people were not faithful. There were little spurts of trying, and there were occasionally some people who were faithful, but for the most part, they weren't. So now it's up to us to be that faithful people that God has been looking for. Faithfulness is important. Maybe you're thinking, well, you know, faithfulness isn't all that. Well, yeah, it is. Faithfulness is so important that without it, we'd be dead. I mean it, dead. What if God decided, remember, this is God, our faithful God. What if God decided that He was going to suspend the laws of gravity and there was no more gravity and everything just started floating away? What if God was no longer faithful in keeping our sun burning or keeping our sun in the sky or in its orbit? What if He just decided the earth doesn't need to stay in its orbit, that we just sort of, when as we were going around, we just sort of flew off out into space? What if God wasn't faithful in showing His mercy and there was no more such thing as forgiveness, salvation? What if God no longer upheld His Word? He was no longer faithful to His Word. According to Hebrews 1:3, it says that God sustains or holds all things together by His powerful Word. Everything is held together by the Word of God, including our bodies. Our bodies made up of billions of atoms that if they weren't held together, we would just disintegrate. You see on Star Trek or Star Wars or some of those, when they do, they go in the transporter and all of a sudden you see the little swirl of atoms as they're transported. Well, that's, we're just atoms like that, that are being held together by the forces that God has put in motion. And if He decided to release those forces, undo His Word, our bodies would disintegrate. This pulpit would disintegrate. Nothing is solid. Everything we see around us, nothing is as solid as it looks. It sounds solid. It looks solid. But it's filled with billions of atoms that could just fly apart at any given moment if God were to say, heck with it all, let it go. But He doesn't. Because He's faithful. And He said His Word will never pass away, so He's not going to suspend His Word. And His Word is what holds everything together. Because the creation was created by Him and His Word. All these scientists are always worrying about this is going to happen, that's going to happen, meteors are going to come and destroy the earth, our sun's going to burn out. It seems like every week I read some ridiculous statement by scientists trying to instill fear into us. Don't listen to that garbage. God is sustaining our world. God is sustaining our lives. God is sustaining our sun. God is sustaining the food, the ecosystem, nature. It's God who's doing it all. Not some scientists because of their great plans. Because God is faithful. What value does something have if it's not dependable? If there's no faithfulness behind it, if it's broken, unfaithful. Would you buy a car that when they advertise it said runs great most of the time? A refrigerator says usually keeps things cold. How about would you use a bank where it says your money might be safe here? That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? We wouldn't accept this unreliability in a car, in a TV, in a radio, even in our toaster. We want something that works. We like to see that word guarantee on there and be able to bring it back and get another one if there's something wrong with it. But unfortunately, often in the more important things, things like our relationship to God and doing His Word, we seem to sometimes settle for 90% faithfulness, or maybe 80, or maybe 70, or 60, or maybe even 50-50. It's sort of sad. Who wants a husband or a wife who we expect to be faithful 70 or 80% of the time? Maybe they're on Ashley Madison website. Now their names are put out before everyone. It doesn't matter how gifted or talented that we are. If we are not faithful in our duties and our obligations, if we are not faithful to use those gifts that God has given us, then we are unfaithful and we've blown it and we've done wrong. Faithfulness is important also for our own peace of mind, for our inner being. How can we be at peace with ourselves or with God or with other people if we're not fulfilling the promises that we've made, even promises to ourselves? I don't think any of us really wants to think of ourselves as a hypocrite. In the Bible, that's like the worst thing you could be. That's the one thing that Jesus condemned over and over. When he really ripped on the Pharisees, all those woes that he talked about, woe unto you, you Pharisees, woe unto you, hypocrites. He belittled them something fierce because they were hypocrites. Because they knew what was right and they pretended to do what was right, but they actually did wrong and they even led others wrongly. Or they prevented them from doing right. God, man, he was mad at them. Faithfulness is all important because it shows the world a positive representation of Christ when we faithfully follow His Word. People are always on the lookout to discredit Christians. You ever notice that? I don't know if you heard what I was mentioning. I mentioned this Ashley Madison. Maybe you do, maybe you don't know about it. It's been in the newspaper this last week. Their slogan is something along the lines of, Ashley Madison, life's too short, have an affair. It's this website designed for married people to have affairs. And it's got millions of followers. It's a worldwide network designed for discreet affairs for the married. Well, I love this. Some people hacked into that website and dumped all the names of that were on that website. Millions of names. And their information, their addresses, their credit card numbers, everything out there. And you know who the newspaper's focused on? One person. And there's probably going to be more come out. But the first one they focused on was a guy by the name of Josh Duggan. You know who he is? A Christian. A Christian. He was on a Christian TV show. A year ago, he got into some trouble. They found out that when he was a kid, he had molested somebody. So he had to quit the TV series. And now they've found this on him. And so, of all the people on there, they say there's people in the Obama administration, there's people at the United Nations, there's people in every level of government, in ours and every other government. There's people all over the place that are using this service. And they focus on the first one, a Christian. You see, the world is always looking to discredit Christians. They're just waiting for that moment when we're not faithful so they can pounce on us and say, see, they're no better than anyone else. Because you know why? It makes them feel better about themselves. That's why they do it. Because they know they're not faithful. They know they're not following Christ. And so they want to jump on us to try to make themselves feel better. Well, there's something I need to tell you. There's a huge difference because we may blow it, but if we've truly given our heart to Christ, we're forgiven. and they're not. If they haven't given their heart to the Lord, they're not. And it doesn't matter if they feel better about themselves because they caught us. We can be forgiven if we repent. And their final destination is somewhere I don't want to be. God's word is very clear that He wants us to be faithful in every area of our life. We need to be, first off, we need to be faithful to God. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "But be sure to fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things He has done for you." We need to stop. He's telling us, consider. That means to stop and think. Stop and think, what has God done for you? Has God done anything for you? I know He's done a lot for me. And sometimes we need to stop and think about all the things that we can be thankful for. And then say, if God has done that much for me, should I honor Him by being faithful to Him? Of course we should. Our first obligation will always be to be faithful to God, to His Word. Everything in our life will begin to go smoother as we get on that path. Maybe not everything right away, but as time unfolds, as our life begins to unfold and progress, all the bad that was still like following us, like what's that guy in Peanuts, with the cloud around Pigpen? Everywhere he went, the cloud followed him. I mean, that's sort of how it is when we're doing wrong all the time. There's like this cloud of disaster following us, isn't there? And everything's always going wrong. And when we get saved, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be gone. But you know what? That disaster that was following us everywhere starts to be less and less and less. It's not that nothing will ever go wrong for us, because it will. But at least it won't be because of our own making, our own sin. And most of the things that go wrong for us happen because of our own stupidity, our own sin. When we're faithful to follow God, gradually more and more things will go on. But we're still going to have things happen. We're still going to get sick. We're still going to die. Our families are going to, our parents are going to pass away. I mean, things are going to happen. I mean, life goes on, but it's going to be so much better when we're faithful to God, because God is faithful to us. And He'll rebuke the devourer. If you remember Abraham, it says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And when God saw the faithfulness of Abraham, He stopped the sacrifice right away. He saved Isaac from being sacrificed. Obviously, God never intended to do it. His goal was to make sure that Abraham was faithful. Because if he was faithful, He stopped him. And if he wasn't, He wasn't going to do it anyway. Think about that. So Isaac was never going to get killed. But God was testing. He was testing Abraham to see, would he be faithful? And he was. And because of that, some great things happened. According to Genesis 22:18, it says that all the nations on the earth were blessed because of his faithfulness. And those of us who have accepted Christ, those who have now received Christ as our Savior, that same promise that was given to Abraham is now ours. And we now are spiritual sons. We are children of the blessing, of the promise, because of his faithfulness. Because that man was faithful to God, others were blessed. Who will be blessed when we're faithful to God? People will. Every time we're faithful to God, other people will be blessed. We also, secondly, need to be faithful to ourselves. James 1:25 says, "The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does." God speaks to us through a message like this. He speaks to us through his word when we read it. He speaks to us during prayer. He speaks to us through all the things we see or hear or experience throughout the day. And we can't just forget what God speaks to us. You see, God speaks to us for a reason. He tells us something, and we get it all the time. Everybody in here, I know, you have had times where you say, "Yeah, I know, I need to do that." We read the Word and we say, "Yeah, I need to get better on that. I need to do this. I need." Sometimes it's in the middle of worship, maybe, and God just hits us and we go, "Oh, I need to start doing this. I need to do that." And we've gotten a word from God. And God is expecting us to be faithful to that word. It's like looking in a mirror, it says here, and then forgetting what we've seen. It's like if I walk up to the mirror and I say, "Oh my gosh, I forgot to shave this spot on my chin," which I do sometimes. I got this little bump on my chin, I've told you this before, and so I shave, and I shave all around it. And sometimes I forget to take my razor, and then, you know, electric razor, and shave it off. And if I hadn't shaved for a couple days and it was sort of getting a little bit long, I got this big spot on there. And Carol will say, "You forgot to shave that thing again." And sometimes I'll see it in the mirror and I'll say, "Oh, I got to shave that." And then I walk away, I forget. Well, it's like looking in the mirror of the Word and God speaks to us and says, "You know, you haven't talked to me in a long time. I wish you'd start spending a little time with me." And we say, "God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to start praying to you every day." And then the next day, we forget about it. Because we're not faithful. I've done it. We've all done it. Where we've forgotten to do the things that God has called us to do. There's forgiveness in that. But we don't want to just nonchalantly not care. We need to care. We need to want to do right. We need to try. We need to ask God for help. And we're going to see how that comes also. And you know, every time we just let that go and we don't care, when we hear that word and we just let it fly away, that's why we put in the bulletin, we got that little piece of paper in there. It says, "Things that God speaks to you." So you got something to write on in case God speaks something to you. You can put it in your phone under notes or reminders. Put a voice memo in there.
"Yeah, I heard this noise. I heard this voice from God."
You know, just put it on there. Real quiet, you know. But every time we don't do what we know we're supposed to do, we chip away at our own internal integrity and we set ourselves up for future defeats. It gets easier and easier to just not do what we know we're supposed to do. We also need to be faithful to others. Oh, and I did want to say one last thing. It says on there, that scripture that I read in James, "And he who does do that thing will be blessed in what he does." Just another avenue of blessing. We also need to be faithful to others. 1 Peter 4:10. "Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." Every one of us here has been given giftings. We've all got abilities. We've got talents. We've got possessions. We've got the means to help in some way, to be a part of things in some way. And God has given us these things not just for ourselves, to hoard for ourselves. Of course, we get to use these for ourselves, but they're for His glory, and they're there to be a blessing to serve others so that we can all serve one another and all be blessed by each one's different gifts. If we all hoard just our thing to ourselves, every one of us gets... If I hoard what I got, you hoard what you got, I got my one little gift. If we all share what we got, I've got hundreds of gifts. Because I got something from each of you. Because you're all a gift. Every one of us are gifts to others. We are stewards. We're stewards of God's goodness, His generosity. And we need to be faithful to serve others. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." If God has entrusted something to us, it says it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. That's a requirement from God. We need to be faithful wherever God has placed us. In all that we do, we are to work as unto the Lord. In other words, whatever we do, wherever we're doing it, it's just like God was our boss right there, and we're doing it for Him. In the 11th century, there was this German king. His name was King Henry III. And he got tired of being a king. He got tired of all the pomp and circumstance, all the court matters, and all the pressures of being a king. So one day he thought, you know what? I'm just going to go join a monastery. I need to get out of this life. I'm going to go retire, and I'm going to go just live in a monastery and just spend all this time just studying and reading. So he applied at the monastery to be accepted for this life of study and contemplation. And the religious man, the superior who was there at the time, was the name Prior Richard. Not Richard Pryor. But this was a prior. It's like the chief monk, and his name was Richard. And he said to him, "Your Majesty, do you understand that the pledge that you are supposed to take here is one of faithfulness and obedience? And that this is going to be very, very hard for you because you are a king." But King Henry was so frustrated with his life, he said, "I understand completely. And for the rest of my life, I promise I will be obedient to you as Christ Jesus leads you." So then Prior Richard said, "Then this is what you must do. You must go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place that God has placed you." The king did exactly as he was told and became an exceptional leader. And when the king finally died, there was a proclamation that was written. And it said, "The king learned to rule by being obedient." Like Henry, we often get tired of our roles, of our responsibilities. We all do. Every job, every position, any place, everybody gets tired at one point or another, frustrated, worn out, feeling like, you know, I just want to give up, I want to quit, I want to change, I want to do this. And like Henry, we all need to be reminded by God, or reminded that God has placed us, each one of us, in a particular place, at a particular time, to be there, to be faithful for God. Whether we're a plumber or a carpenter, a teacher, a secretary, an assembler, a doctor, a lawyer, a husband or a wife or a manager or an executive, it doesn't matter. Whether in ministry or whether it's in the home, it doesn't matter. Wherever we find ourselves, that's where God wants us to be faithful, doing that job as if we were doing it unto the Lord. And that's where the blessing of God will be, as we do it unto Him. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." See, part of being in the faith is being faithful. So God wants us to examine ourselves to see, are we there? Are we being faithful? Sometimes we have to really look at ourselves and maybe see ourselves through the eyes of others. And if others perceive us as unfaithful, maybe we need to ask ourselves, am I somehow blowing it? Is there some areas I need to change? Maybe we need to ask ourselves, do I make promises to my children and not keep them? Or to my clients, to my pastor, to my spouse, to my friends, to my boss, or even to God and not keep them? Are we late for appointments? Are we late for meetings, for church, for work, or whatever? Do we return borrowed items that we borrowed? Do we call someone when we say we will? These are all faithful things that we're supposed to do. Do we pay our bills on time? Do we tithe regularly? Do we pay back money that we borrowed? If we volunteer for something, do we show up? You know, sometimes we think that just because we volunteer, it's not that important, that anything is acceptable. But if we see ourselves as not as a volunteer, but as serving the Lord, then we recognize that this faithfulness is important in all that we do. We have to see ourselves as representing Jesus in every situation, wherever we are, to our children, to our wife or our husband, to our friends, to our co-workers, wherever we are. And remember, this faithfulness is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, I realize it's hard to be faithful in all things. It's hard to be perfect in every way. Only God can do that. We can't. We can't. In this flesh is so imperfect, there's no way that it could ever be perfect in every way like God. So it's something we can't do on our own. That's why God gave us His Holy Spirit. Because God knows we can't do it in our strength, but we can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives us strength. We can do all things. I mean, you name one thing that you have trouble with being faithful, that you absolutely, there's no way you could do it. There's not. Say it's paying a bill on time. I'm always late. I can't do it. I'm always running. Well, there is a way. I guarantee you, there is a way to get ahead so that you can begin to pay those bills on time. Being late, giving back borrowed things, whatever it is, being there for, you know, at work, whatever it is. There's a way to get there, to that point where we can be faithful. We just have to work at it, and we have to maybe sometimes ask God for help. If God has called us to fulfill a certain task, to live a certain way, to do a certain thing, then God will give us the strength to do that. Would God ever call us to do something that we can't do, that's impossible for us? No way. His word says it may be impossible for man, but with God all things are possible. Paul told us one time in 2 Corinthians 12:9, well, he was talking and he was asking God for help. God, can you take this away from me? I can't do this anymore. Can you take this away from me? I need help. And God's answer, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So even when we know we can't do it, as we learn to trust in the Lord in that thing, God will help us to do that very thing. Being faithful when it's hard, being faithful when it's uncomfortable, when it seems impossible, that's what makes us grow. That's when we have to draw closer to God and get to know Him in an even deeper way. That's when we have to depend on God and say, God, I need You. I see Your faithfulness. I see how You are. You never stop. You never relent. You never give up. You never, ever, ever are not faithful. And God, I want to be like You. And you know what? That sets us up for the blessing. Every time we are faithful, we're going to be blessed in some way. And we're going to be a blessing. 2 Corinthians 8:11, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. In other words, a lot of times we start out with a bang, don't we? But sometimes we poop out before it's done. And what God is saying is, finish the job that you started so that your eager willingness to start will be matched by the same strength so that you can complete it. And then he says, I like this last part, according to your means. In other words, God's saying, it's in there. Do it according to what's in you. Because God already knows that whatever he's given you to do, it's in you to complete it with his help. Let me read that again now then. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. To me, that sounds like a no-excuse kind of thing, you know? Like, we can't ever say, I just can't do that. I know sometimes we feel like that, and that's where God says, I'll give you the help. My grace will be sufficient for you. What God is saying here today, and I'm wrapping it up, so the prayer team, if you want, you can come forward today, is that God wants to turn up the faithfulness thermometer.